You saw the illustration with the boys and girls that we are together. That sometimes it's a little more difficult to do things together than it is to do things by yourself, because when you do things together, you have to actually work with and agree with other people at times. And it's interesting when you do things like that with children. For one thing, some of them have no problem leaving in the middle of the worship and running all over the church. That's no problem for some of them. Others of them, that's so out of their comfort zone that they're not really sure whether they can do that or not. It was interesting watching them when we went in the office, because several of them had never been in the office before. And so they're noticing all the stuffed animals on the shelves, and, you know, they're the things that are part of my office. The coyote skull and all kinds of other accoutrements that are there. And what does it mean to be together? What is there about those relationships within a church that put us together? We call it a church family. That's one of the phrases we use quite frequently, to call it a church family. And indeed, some of the relationships among a church family are closer than some of our actual own blood family. You know, we certainly spend more time with each other than we do some of our family. Quite frankly, we like the church folks better than we like some of our own family, if you really want to know the truth. And sometimes the church folks drive us crazy, like our own family does. You know, that just kind of happens. I want us to look at this parable, the story of Jesus, where he talked about a sheep, a sheepfold, the shepherd, and wolves. John chapter 10, starting verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he'll be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I lay down my life for the sheep." The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. He refers to thieves and robbers. In the history of our church, we've certainly had our share of that. In fact, in this area, we've had probably more thefts and certainly more dollar value of thefts than any other church in our area through the course of the years. And every time that happens, someone says, "I can't believe they do that to a church." To steal, kill, and destroy. And yet there are other factors and other forces in our world today that want to steal more than just financial stuff and building stuff and air conditioners and office equipment. They want to steal our joy and our happiness and our fellowship and our love one for another. They want to steal our camaraderie of caring for one another. They want to kill our good feelings one toward another. They want to kill our mission emphasis. They want to kill our evangelistic thrust. And they want to destroy our reliance on God. And they want to destroy our desire to serve and get us to be insular among ourselves, to pray for just us and no one else. Steal, kill, and destroy. And you notice what the wolf does when they're not cared for right? He scatters them. You understand how that's part of steal, kill, and destroy is to scatter the folks instead of working together and being together and being a part of who we are together? They get scattered. The wolf snatches and scatters. That is the very work of the devil, to scatter a church apart, to scatter families apart, to split families apart, to drive that wedge to where we get all hopped up and focused on those things that divide rather than those things that unite. You see those kids, we kept talking about doing it together. And there's always going to be that one kid that says, I ain't going to do that. Yeah. And we say together, church, there's always going to be that one person that says, well, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to be all by myself. That working out for you? You see, the wolf snatches and scatters because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and have that life be an abundant life. Here's what he says that the shepherd does. He helps the sheep to go in and out and find pasture. To go in and out and find pasture. What does a sheep do when a sheep's in a good pasture? Sheep eats. Sheep do a few other things too, but that's, you know. If you've been around sheep, sheep stink, but that's another, you know. We go to a place we've never been to before. By the time the week's over, they're feeding us wonderful food. And we're enjoying fellowship and life and love together. They go in and they go out and they find pasture. You see, the church together always has a focus of looking inward to care for one another. And this church does a marvelous, wonderful job of caring one for another. Ask Shirley how many cards she's gotten in the past couple of weeks. And find out. And see the folks that gather together to help care for her family in a time of need and loss. And we're good at that. We come in. We also go out. We've got those who have that heart for doing ministry and care, not just here, but out there. And we do it together. Go in and out and find pasture. Nurture and provision. I explained yesterday, the biblical definition of love is to nurture and provide. To meet basic needs, but also to nurture needs of affirmation and affection and care. That's what love means. And he says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's why the cross is so prominent in everything we do, because Jesus gave his life on the cross. not there any longer. As he rose and went to be with his Father. And we keep the cross around to remind us about what he did as he laid his life down. We have a life abundant when we go in and out and find pasture. And then he says, I know my own, and my own know me. I'm not sure that's what Jesus really looked like. Looks like the costume we use every Easter for Jesus that Adam wears. But I know that Jesus knows me. And he knows you. He says, I know my own, and my own know me. We are together, not merely by choice or happenstance, but by the divine action of a loving and caring God. You know, everyone here has a different story of how you came to be a part of this together. Literally, some were just driving by and said, I think I'll go check that place out. Okay? Others, from very early in the start of this church, saying, I want to be a part of God's work in that place. Others, well, we got crossways with that other church across town, so I might as well come here and see how it goes here. It's the story of some of us. Others, because this church is close and they'll have to drive all the way to where they used to go to church at. There are others here that came recognizing a divine call. God specifically moved in their hearts and lives and says, you put your life there. And they recognize that. There are others here because here is a place and a group of people where you can serve and use your giftedness in a way that makes a difference, and you recognize that your giftedness fits and it's good. Everyone's got a different story of why they came here. But all of us have seen and recognized the hand of God putting us together, knitting our hearts together like David and Jonathan, making us part of a body of Christ together. I know my own, and my own know me. My wife works at the intermediate school, third to fifth graders. And she deals with all of them from the whole school. And every once in a while, she'll ask one of the children, who's your teacher? Now, if it's the first week in August and the child doesn't know, you know, that's not really that surprising. But it's January. Okay, and they've had that same teacher for 5 months now. Okay, they've seen that same teacher every year. And when she goes to a fifth grader and says, who's your teacher? And he goes, oh. There's not that sense of, I know my own and my own know me. But in the church, we know the Lord. And the Lord knows us. When we're in a worship service with brothers and sisters speaking a different language, but they're speaking to the same God we know, it makes a difference. And we're together. I know my own, and my own know me. Who are we? We are the people of God that seek good and not evil. Whose are we? We are God's. And we are together. We are committed servants of Almighty God, fulfilling His will in this place. We are together. We may meet in this room. We may meet outside for James Scott's baptism. We may meet all kinds of different places. We may be scattered all over the community during the week. But we are together because we are God's people, knit together by God in a calling to reach the lost for Him here in this place. And we will certainly be attacked by those who want to come steal, kill, and destroy, sometimes even ourselves in a backslidden state, scattering. But here comes God, reminding us we're together. And so whether it's a group of kids carrying a purple bag, or a group of Christians going to the Navajo Reservation, or a group of Christians caring for one of their own, or a group of Christians going to work every single day, praying for one another, caring for one another, and caring for their neighbors and friends, we are together. And in 2019, I want us to commit to being together. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together like some." He doesn't name the some. He says, "Let's not forsake it. Let's be a part of being together." Let's pray. Father, bring us together. Bring us to be with Your people. Build and strengthen our bond one with another, that where one hurts, we all hurt. Where one rejoices, we all rejoices. Where one loves, we all love. Where one heartbreak, all our hearts break. Bind us together with Your love and Your grace and Your peace. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.